Good evening. It's a pleasure being with you this evening. I'd like to extend our gratitude for this invitation to bring God's Word to you this evening. If you would please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. The Gospel of John and chapter 1. We'll begin our reading in verse 19. John chapter 1 and verse 19. Hear now the word of the Lord. And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you're neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, he saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us pause here and turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you for this opportunity where we can come together to worship you, to sing songs of praise to your name, to hear your word read, and now to hear your word preached. We pray and ask, dear Lord, that you may be with us in these next few moments, that you may quiet our hearts and our spirits and prepare our hearts for what you have for us this evening. I also pray, dear Lord, for myself, that you may keep my mind from any distraction, my heart from pride, my lips from error. We pray, Lord, that at the end of this all, you may receive all the glory and honor. For we pray, asking all this through the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If we look out in the world today, we see that there are many, many attempts to try to grab our attention. There are many things and many people that are telling us to look at this or consider that thing over there. There are many eye-catching pictures that we see around us, many ear-catching slogans. There are many heart-catching emotional stories that are designed to get us to focus on what they're trying to tell us. There are many ways that the media is being used to attract our attention about different products and services and events going on. At times it feels as though every company is saying to us, look over here, look at this, look at what we have to offer. Look. But we also see that the Bible also tells us to look. And in the Bible we hear God telling us as well to look, to pay attention. And when we hear God say, look, or we hear God saying, behold, this, of course, is to grab our attention. When we hear God saying, look, we are to focus our thoughts and our hearts on something that is very momentous. It is something that is especially significant when God tells us to look, that deserves at least a pause or even at least a second look. The Bible, we see throughout, implores us and even commands us in many places to come and take a long look at the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah calls us to behold your gods. And we're to come and look with genuine eyes, with genuine contemplation, the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We see it throughout the Psalms where we're told to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And this is what we have in our text before us. In our text this evening here, we're to pause, as it were. We're to stop and stare with longing eyes at the mystery of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, in writing this gospel, the Apostle John is presenting a case for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is addressing himself to the individual who may be concerned to answer the question, who is Jesus Christ? He's presenting the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will, in such a way that when men and women come away from reading his gospel, may believe that this truly is the Son of God. But when we come to our section this evening, we see that this section, the apostle is taking us through a step-by-step account of the early public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, what we see here is the testimony of John the Baptist. And so we're given a glimpse, as it were, into the first periods of the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know something of John the Baptist. We know that he was the one who had baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was signaled to him, as we will see later on in our passage, that this is the Son of God by the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove and remaining on him. And so we are looking through John's testimony this evening. But this evening, we want to focus specifically on verses 29 through 34. We want to focus on 29 through 34. And we will examine John's testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ here, as the Lord Jesus Christ is portrayed to us here in this passage as the only one who is authorized and qualified to take away the sins of the world. And we will do this by firstly looking at the title of Jesus, and then secondly, the work of Jesus, and then thirdly, the qualification of Jesus. And so firstly, the title of Jesus. And so we want to see in the first place here, his identity. What is his identity? Our text here draws our attention to the testimony of John the Baptist, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this testimony here, we're given the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, right at the beginning of verse 29, he says, "The next day when John saw Jesus coming towards him, he said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" John is saying to his hearers that this here is the Lamb of God. This here is God's only Lamb. This one is it. This is the one. There is no other Lamb. This is Christ's identity. He is God's Lamb. John here is announcing to the crowds gathered here to pay attention because God's moment had finally come. And he says to his listeners, here he is. Behold, look, pay attention, for the Lamb of God has stepped onto the stage of human history. And so here John identifies the Lord Jesus Christ plainly for who he is. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And what a confession this is. What a declaration this is of the Lord Jesus Christ being the Lamb of God. He is affirming here that Christ is the Lamb of God. He is the priest of God. He is the only one qualified to be that Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And so John here addresses his crowd saying, this is that Lamb. That Lamb of God's provision. The only Lamb from God. This is God's Lamb. But in doing so, John also here draws attention to that perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ when he tells his listeners to behold the Lamb. That perfection of Jesus Christ is that being pure, that being spotless, the pureness of the Lamb that was to be chosen for the sacrifice, that Lamb that was supposed to be the substitute for sinners, we know had to be pure, had to be spotless, had to be without blemish. And John here is declaring to his hearers and to us that this is that pure and spotless Lamb that has been chosen by God. Here is that special Lamb, that one that is in every way undefiled. That Lamb that is the perfect substitute. The Lamb that is suitable and can stand in the place of sinners to satisfy the wrath of God. This is that Lamb that reconciles sinners to the holy God. Christ, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. Christ, the Lamb that was preached by all the Old Testament prophets. Christ, that Lamb that was portrayed by many of the rituals in the Old Testament. Christ, the Lamb whose blood would be shed to take away the sins of the world, to make atonement for sin. Behold the Lamb, says John the Baptist. And may this be the message of every Christian here this evening. And I believe that the mistake that many of us make, and I know I make this mistake as well, is to think that this testimony, this message here, is John's message only. But that should not be the case, because this ought to be the message for every single Christian. This is the message for everyone who seeks to be the light and salt in the world that God has called us to be. We are to invite people to look to the Lamb, to behold the Lamb of God, the Lamb that is able to save, the Lamb who is the only one who can take away the sin of the world. This is the gospel message. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is Christ's identity, the Lamb of God. But secondly, this evening, we want to see the work of Christ. The work of Christ. And firstly, we do that by looking at His mission. John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." His mission. His mission is to take away the sin of the world. John wrote later in 1 John 3 verse 5, he says, "You know that He appeared to take away sin, and in Him there is no sin." The reason why the Son of God appeared, the reason why the Word became flesh, was to take away sin. And John here is witnessing for us to the central reason for the incarnation of Christ. To take away sin. Now the verb here, to take away, means two things. It means to bear and to remove. The bearing is the method, and the removing becomes the consequence. And all of this is included in that statement, to take away. This here is that glorious work of substitution. He bears the sins of the world. He took to Himself the guilt of all His people. That one who was pure, that one who was perfect, that one who was blameless and perfectly obeyed every demand of God's law. He took to Himself the sins of His people. If you remember in the Old Testament, we're given a picture of this. When a man would want his sins forgiven, he would bring a lamb that was pure, a lamb that was spotless, a lamb that had no blemish. And he would, as it were, rely on that lamb to take away his sins by his laying on of his hands on the head of that lamb. He was depending upon that lamb to be sacrificed, to take away his sins. And that was the vivid picture of what substitutionary death was going to be. That lamb that was innocent, that lamb that had not committed any sin, had now, as it were, become guilty by the imputation of the sinner's sin and became the sacrifice on behalf of that person. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Our sins are placed on Him. The prophet Isaiah says, He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. That one who was pure, that one who was perfect, that sinless Son of God took on our transgressions. He suffered and died for us. And in that bearing of our sin, we see the gracious work of expiation as well. We see our sins being removed. He accomplished that work of reconciliation by His sacrifice. He removed the barrier to fellowship with the Holy God. He removed every obstacle that was in the way to our peace with God. And now the way is open up to peace with God. This is the taking away of our sins. And this message of John the Baptist was not just a message to Israel. This is a message to us all. The Savior of the world had come. The Savior of the world has come. And John is confessing that this one that you see coming here is the Lamb of God. He is the only priest that can effectively and truly deal with sins. And John is saying, this is God's chosen Lamb. This is not only John's message, but this also is our message. Christ is the only Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Savior that ever was and that ever will be. This is His mission. This is His mission. But thirdly, we want to see the qualification of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is it that qualifies Him? Well, firstly, we see that by His preeminence. Look with me at verse 30. He says, "This is He of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know Him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that He might be revealed to Israel." John declares that after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I believe here that this here is a statement of both time and rank. It draws our attention here to that superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ by way of his rank over John. If you remember from the Gospel of Luke's account, we know that John was about 6 months older than the Lord Jesus Christ. John himself was the one who started ministering before the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one who had to prepare the way for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He began preaching some time before Jesus, and Jesus had in fact come to him to be baptized. So in every way, Jesus temporarily came after John. John was born first. He started preaching first. But yet, John says, the one who comes after me is prepared before me, for he was before me. See, before Christ came onto the scene, John is saying here that he already was. His coming here is not the first of his coming. This is not the beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is saying that he who comes after me has been before me. He has been before me. He is certainly speaking of that eternality of the blessed Jesus Christ. It is expressing here the eternal being of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is saying, in fact, that this is no mere man here. He is absolutely before John. Jesus Christ is from eternity. In John 1:1, we're told that in the beginning was the Word. He was there from the beginning. And the reason for saying it here is that John wants to underline the fact of what it takes for the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. See, no ordinary man can be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so everything that John is telling us here in this testimony is essential to Christ being that sin-removing Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is the Lord God of Isaiah 40. Jesus Christ is so infinitely superior to John that John says he is not worthy to even untie his sandals. Jesus is absolutely before John, and therefore he ranks infinitely above John. And because of this, he can be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John is confessing to his hearers that this one you see now coming here is the eternal Son of God. John is confessing here that Christ is indeed the only Savior of the world, the only Savior that has ever been. And our message ought to be like John's message, preaching to the wilderness of this world, that salvation is to be found only in the Lord Jesus Christ and in no other place. This is Christ's preeminence. This is Christ's preeminence. But secondly, we see the evidence of the Holy Spirit. The evidence of the Holy Spirit. We've seen His preeminence. Now the evidence of the Holy Spirit. We see that starting in verse 32. And John records for us, "And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on Him. I myself did not know Him, but He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is He who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." John here begins by admitting to us that he himself did not recognize the Lord Jesus Christ in the full sense. John tells us very honestly that he previously did not know Jesus either. But he continued with what he was commissioned to do. He continued with his baptism so as to lead men and women to repentance in anticipation of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who would bestow by his death and resurrection the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit. The water of John's baptism was a picture of what Christ was going to do with his shed blood. Jesus is the one who removes sin. Jesus is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And John here goes on to explain for us that his personal knowledge of Christ was not given to him by human intuition, but rather it was by divine revelation. He says he would not have known who Jesus Christ was except for the one who sent him told him what to look for. And as the Lord Jesus Christ came to John to be baptized, and as he came out of the water, John says, he saw the Spirit descend on him, and he saw the Spirit remain on him. And John here records for us what he saw, and he now bears witness that this truly is the Son of God. And what John is doing here is merely repeating God's declaration about the Lord Jesus Christ. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This is the verification of the sonship, of the special anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. This was the evidence that was given to John that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. This was heaven saying to John that this indeed is the Christ of John. And so John is merely repeating to us heaven's message to him, that this is the Christ, this is the Son of God, this is the Messiah. The Holy Spirit would come down and anoint him. The Holy Spirit would come and give him the authority to carry out his ministry. The Holy Spirit was that mark, or as it were, that inaugurator of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. The Holy Spirit was signifying where all the power and all the authority lies. And so John saw this and witnessed it and now is telling it to his hearers that this is the Son of God. And what made John unique in his day was that he was ordained to bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And with his confession, he gives us the elements of what he bore witness of. Though we ourselves may not be called in the same way John was called, but we are also to bear the same message. It is for us to bear the same message with the same zeal and same conviction that John the Baptist had. We are to affirm what John affirmed. We are to declare that Christ and Christ alone is the only Savior of the world. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But by way of conclusion, what we see in this text, what John is witnessing, shows us our need for Christ. See, our greatest problem is the problem of sin. It is a universal problem. You can think of it as the cancer of the human race. It is a deep-seated problem that touches the very heart of our humanity. There is none righteous. No, not one. We all have sinned. We all have a great debt that we cannot pay. Even if we tried to work it off 1,000 lifetimes over, it would never be enough. We are helpless. We are unable to pay for our sin. Hence, our need of Christ. Hence, our need for someone to pay our debts. And John is telling us here that the solution to our problem of sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. The solution to our problem of sin is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Not only is Jesus the solution to our problem, He is the only one who is qualified and authorized to deal with sin. See, no one in their right mind could ever make this statement that they are qualified unless it was true. And John pointed to Jesus because He alone was authorized, He alone was qualified to take away the sin of the world. Jesus is qualified because He is not just a man. He is God. He is God and man in one person. He alone has the capacity and the ability to deal effectively with sin. He is the God-man. I've heard it said that He is so much God, it is as though He were not man. And He is so much man, it is as though He was not God. It is hard to wrap our minds around it, but the Bible tells us He is both. He is God and man in one person. And this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of the God-man. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Therein lies our hope. Therein lies our salvation. This here is the supreme expression of God's love for us. And there is nothing in the world that can convince a sinner of the love of God than what He demonstrated on the cross of Calvary by heaping upon His perfect Son, His perfect, righteous, and pure Son, all of our sins. That picture alone is our hope. That is God showing us just how much He loves us. And so I ask this evening, do you know Christ? Do you know Jesus? Because God has opened your eyes to realize that He has come in the flesh to offer Himself as a sacrifice for sin. Do you know Jesus? Because God has opened your eyes to recognize that Jesus is the only begotten and unique Son of God. See, unless your eyes are opened, unless you are given faith, you will die in your sins. Unless your eyes be opened, you will suffer God's eternal wrath and judgment. If your eyes have not been opened,
Then pray to God for the gift of sight. Cry out to God to show you your sins. Cry out to God to open your eyes that you may see with the eyes of faith and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Call on God. Look to the cross. Look to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God will either bring you comfort or terror. Because one day you will face the Lamb of God. You will either face Him as a judge or you will face Him as your Savior. Which one will it be for you? Amen.